Thank you, fellas. Well, this morning, we're going to begin looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are things that are a little bit difficult to understand. They can be a little bit scary sometimes if we don't understand and know what it is that we're talking about. There are a lot of churches and a lot of groups that don't teach about the gifts of the Spirit for a number of different reasons. Here at Remnant Life Church, we believe in those gifts. We believe that they're as relevant today as they were back when Jesus was on the earth, walking with his disciples. He gives us these gifts in order to be able to stand firm in the times of trial, to be able to see the power of God moving. So we're going to talk about that. But not this morning. That's called a teaser. That's what that is. That's a teaser. Not this morning. This morning we want to go to set some foundation for that. Because I think it's very important that we understand the natural and the supernatural. Because the gifts of the Spirit are supernatural in nature. And immediately as soon as you say that, it begins to make some people nervous. Because they don't understand. Or they've seen these things happen before, and it was a little scary. Or even a little bit out of control. Because that's why a number of churches don't deal with the gifts of the Spirit, because it can get a little bit unusual, if you will. And if you grew up in a denominational church where you came in, sat down, there were two hymns, three announcements, another hymn, you prayed, took an offering, and then had the service or had the preaching, it's not quite that contained. But the Bible says in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So this morning, I want us to have knowledge for what it is that God wants to do in our lives, in our churches, with the gifts of the Spirit. So the first thing is this: what is natural? When you talk about things that are natural, what does that mean? Well, that's pretty obvious, I think. The natural is those things that occur within the realm of our understanding, usually having to do with our five senses. That's what's natural. So if something's going on and this takes place, if this were suddenly to fall over, well, that happened because I must have bumped it and gravity took over, pulled it down. I've got some comprehension of that. And the Bible shows us a particular person that was very locked in by his understanding of the natural. He was actually one of Jesus' disciples. You know who I'm talking about. Who? Thomas. Thomas was very locked into the natural, because the Bible tells us that one of the 10 times that Jesus appeared after the resurrection, he appeared 10 different times after the resurrection. The Bible says that he went into one of the rooms where the disciples were, and there were 10 of them in the room. 10 because Judas was dead. He had killed himself, and Thomas wasn't with them. So the guys get all worked up. They get all excited. Hey, it's Jesus. They're high-fiving each other. It's great. There he is. And Jesus leaves, and then Thomas gets to the room, and they go, Tom, we just saw Jesus. And what did Thomas say? Unless I can touch him, unless I can see him with my eyes, unless I have the experience to be able to know it's him, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait and see. And then you remember what happens. Jesus comes again. Thomas is there. And he goes, Tom, touch my hands. Here's my side. That's where the spear went in. It's me. Thomas, of course, said, my Lord, my master. And remember what Jesus said to him. You believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who what? Don't see me and believe. So Thomas was locked into those things of the natural. The natural is also those things that a lot of people would say have to be proven scientifically. Our world is very big on science. And if it doesn't fit in with science, well, you know, I just don't know that there's a lot of validity to it, because then it becomes something that can't be easily explained. But the problem is, science isn't as reliable a source as I think they want us to believe that they are. And it isn't that science is an important part of life. Of course it is. But it was only just a few hundred years ago that there was still a large portion of the world that believed that our world was flat. That we were on ground that rested on a plane of water floating through space. That's what was believed just several hundred years ago. Modern medicine has replaced the ideas that there are evil elves running around in our body making us feel bad, that there's black bile that people have to deal with. It was only just probably about 150 years ago that doctors all of a sudden realized, you know, if I wash my hands, there's a lot less chance that this person's going to die from an infection. And so the course of time, science understands more and more. But for me, it makes it difficult when I hear a scientist say, this absolutely cannot be, when in reality, we're looking at things of God that are the same yesterday, today, and forever. God doesn't change. Science changes. Evolutionists have been trying to tell us all along that, you know what, we are descendants of apes. My very basic question to that is, so why are there still apes? I haven't gotten an answer to that one yet. So if we've evolved from them, how come there aren't? Never mind. It just gets into a whole other thing. 1922, a tooth was found in Nebraska. And a man was built from that tooth, and scientists told us that it was that evolutionary link that proved without a shadow of a doubt that we are descended from the primates, that we have evolved through that process from that tooth. They built a whole man. Later, they found another tooth. And with that other tooth, they also found a skull. Same teeth, skull. And then they discovered that it was actually a pig that they had created this whole man from, to convince us that science has been right all along, that we can't possibly have been created by God, but that we are evolved from things that are naturally explained. That's all the natural. Now you say, Pastor Dave, so what are you saying? That science has... No, I'm not saying that. But the thing is this, if you do any research about things of the Bible, you're going to find that more and more, as science is getting more and more accurate with the things they deal with, the Bible is being proved right more and more. And to take a portion of this word of God and to say, well, that's right, but the rest of this stuff, that's not right, would be the same as taking a course in college and you're given a textbook and the professor stands up and says, okay, chapters 1, 3, 5, and 7, study those. Those are great. But chapters 2, 4, and 6, those are wrong. Just ignore them. What sense does that make? Either the word of God is true or it's not true. It can't be pieces of it that work and pieces that don't because you're uncomfortable with it. That's why I'm so careful and cautious that when we talk about the Word of God, we're talking about all of the Word. It's not a smorgasbord. You can't just pick stuff that you like and go, well, that part there where I have to be obedient to my parents, that's not really what should be happening. It's all a part of God's Word. But when it comes to the natural versus the supernatural, we get our minds and our hearts set on those things that keep us comfortable, things that we can easily explain. And you've heard me say so many times, God is completely outside of who we are. He's so much more. And one of Satan's greatest tools is to come and attack our minds. There's been a book written called The Battlefield of the Mind. Who's that? Is that Joyce Meyer wrote that? That's what I thought. Battlefield of the Mind. Satan attacks our thinking. And one of the ways that he does that is if he can get us to force everything that we see and everything that we experience into our little box of thinking, he's going to effectively eliminate so much of what God wants to do who is outside of those things. That's the natural. There's a lot of other things with that. I'm not going to get into it because I want to get to the good part. I want to get to the part that allows us to be able to do so much more. When you talk about the supernatural, you're talking about the very nature of who God is. The very nature. When Jesus walked the earth, he dealt in the supernatural constantly. We actually have a name for those things. They're called miracles. Jesus performed according to the scripture. Now, there may be more. There may be more things that took place. But we are given 36 miracles that Jesus performed in the scripture. The first one is found in John. What happened? What was the first miracle? Most people know this. Turn water into wine. He's at the wedding in Canaan. Mom comes up. Jesus, come here. They're out of wine. I know. You'd think the caterer would have been a little bit smarter about that. They knew the number of people coming. They didn't figure right. And so Jesus turned the water into wine. The last miracle Jesus performed is also found in John. Anybody know that one? This was after he had been crucified and rose from the dead. He performed yet another miracle. The disciples are fishing on the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus comes along the shore. They don't even know who he is. And he calls out and says, guys, catch any fish? They go, nah, fishing all night, no fish. They don't even know who he is. He said, hey, throw your nets on the other side of the boat. The Bible says they got so much fish they almost couldn't take them all in. And all in between all of those, Jesus is doing things that confound the thinking of our minds. He performed almost half of his miracles had to do with healing somebody. And that's why we talk so much about that here. We talk about what it means to be healed in our physical bodies through our prayers to God. Now, once again, it is up to God who he heals at the time that we pray. Sometimes we get instantaneous healing, instantaneous answers to our prayers. We love those. I like them. I'd love to be able to come up, put my hand on somebody and say, hey, in Jesus' name, you're healed. It doesn't always happen that way. Does that mean my prayer was not effective? No, it does not. Does it mean that God wasn't listening? No, it doesn't. What we have to always understand is God sees the beginning from the end. He sees not only what's taking place in this person's life, but every life that that person's going to have an impact on in the future. And that healing may not be appropriate for what God wants to accomplish down the road at that single minute. That's where our faith becomes so important, to know that God loves us, that he wants us to continue to intercede, continue to pray. Say, Pastor Dave, do you believe God can heal cancer? You better believe I do. Absolutely I do. Can God do extraordinary things? Have there ever been limbs that have been restored that were gone? Yeah, there's documentation of that. Has there ever been anybody raised from the dead that wasn't in the Bible? Yeah, lots of them. But you know where they don't happen mostly? They don't happen here in this country. These are things that are happening in Africa, in South America, in Central America. Sometimes the poorest, most destitute places on the face of the planet is where God is moving the most powerfully because people are just desperate for his presence. Can we ever come to the place, in all of our opulence, in all of the beauty of what we have, can we ever get to the place where we're hungry enough for God to say, whatever you want to do, you can do that in my life. However you want to use me. So Jesus performs these miracles. He's healing. He rebukes and casts out demons. Now, are demons a part of supernatural? Yes, they are. Yeah, they are. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Because you have to be able to know the difference between the voice of God and the voice of the enemy. You have to know that while Satan for a time has some powers and some abilities, he is never greater than God. Never over the power of God in our lives. You say, Pastor Dave, do you think a Christian can be possessed? Absolutely not. No. The presence of God is in my spirit. Satan can't be there. Darkness can't be where light is. Can he harass me? Yeah. Can he make my life pretty miserable sometimes? Yes, he can. But do I have the power and the authority to be able to rise above those things? Yes, I do. Yes, you do. Each and every one of us. So when we look at the natural and the supernatural, things that just don't in the natural mind make sense, should we be concerned or afraid of the supernatural? Are there things about that that I need to be worried about? Can the supernatural hurt me? These are the things that I think so many people get their minds set on, and it's because we are inundated with this constantly in our culture. And I'll come back to that in just a second. Here's one thing we have to always remember, and this is one of the foundational elements of what I want you to understand this morning. There is nothing that takes place in our world today, nothing natural, nothing supernatural, nothing about our lives that God did not create and put in place. Everything is created by God. Satan is a created being. He didn't create himself. He didn't make up his own kingdom and say, well, I'm coming into being and I'm going to do this so I can oppose God. No, he's a fallen angel. We've talked about that, haven't we? We talked about he was one of the three archangels in heaven. Michael, Gabriel, what's his name? Lucifer. Lucifer was the worship leader in heaven. Sorry, Dave. I'm nuts. There's no correlation there. I just want you to know that. Lucifer was an angel of light. They said his beauty was beyond understanding. And it's one of the reasons why he's still powerful today to be able to fool and deceive us, because he can take the form of beautiful things and still be evil. That's why we have to know. That's why we have to have knowledge. So Satan is always looking for some way to come and to tell us lies. So everything God's created is good. Satan's job has been one thing and one thing only. It's to take the things of God and pervert and twist them. That's what he's done. And you see that all the time today, and you're able to even know what I'm talking about. For instance, New Age religion is nothing more than the focus on God's greatest creation, that's us, and through pride, turn it around so that we worship what's inside of each of us. That's New Age religion. It's all built on me. I am a God, is what most New Age religions say. I have some aspect of the God element inside of me. And what it does is it just simply robs the glory that belongs to him and puts it on ourselves. That's a perversion. The Bible speaks a lot about numbers. A lot of numbers in the Bible, if you read through them. We talked a little bit about that once, didn't we? Just a little while back, we talked a little bit about that. But the science or the creation of numerology is a perversion of that. Because now what we're doing is we're taking those numbers and we're giving those things power and authority in our lives rather than God. The worship of the stars, astrology, horoscopes, those types of things, those are perversions of what God created. Neo-paganism is the worship of the earth and the created elements. Do you see the pattern here? It's taking glory away from God and putting it on things that he created. That's the clay. He's the potter. We're just the clay. The lump of clay sitting on the potter's wheel has no shape, no form, no beauty until the potter gets done fashioning and forming it. That's who we are. We are just that lump of clay. Everything that God's created has been done out of his hand. And so anytime we take glory away from him and put it on those things, we're moving into a realm that is controlled by one thing and one thing only, and that's Satan. You say, Pastor Dave, that's a little rough, isn't it? I mean, you mean it's either God or it's Satan? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying to you. There is no middle ground from it. And this is why it's so important for us to protect the things that we allow to come into our spirits. Today, Hollywood is cranking out at an unbelievable rate everything you can possibly want to know about demons, zombies, vampires, werewolves, witchcraft. Cranking it out. Harry Potter has been one of the enemy's most successful venues to get into the lives of our children today. You say, Pastor Dave, come on. That was just so innocent. Right. That's what the enemy wants us to believe, that it's innocent. Because what it does is it takes witchcraft, something that God in the scripture has said over and over and over, stay away from it. It's evil. It's from the enemy. It has nothing to do. It's not about witchcraft. It's about the power of God. So anything that's not about that has got to be from the enemy. Harry Potter has taken all of that and made it cute, made it attractive, made it fun, and it's been aimed at our kids. Can I encourage you to guard your children? And I don't say this for condemnation, because I know, I'm sure there's a bunch of you in here that have done the whole Harry Potter thing for your kids, and that's okay, because God's greater than that. But can I encourage you to begin to look at things with spiritual eyes and not just the eyes of your mind? Not to buy into the things that Hollywood's pumping into us. All the vampires. Good night. I think there's another new one coming out now. Every time you turn around, there's another vampire movie coming out. You see, Pastor Dave, not just, you know, it's just fun. Well, but the problem is that when you begin to allow those things to come into your heart and into your spirit, you open the door for Satan to bring everything else in. You've created a doorway. You've created an opening into your life. Katarina and I went down to, where were we? We were in Gettysburg. And we went to an antique place down there. And I might have told you this story a while back, but I think it bears repeating. We went down to this place, and we love to walk through antique places. I look for cufflinks and all kinds of little things like that. But we were walking through, it's like three, four stories. And we got down to the bottom floor, and I was walking around. We had separated. She was on another part of the floor, and I was just kind of wandering around. And I saw this little coffin sitting against the wall. Probably not going to buy that. I don't need a coffin in my house. But then I began walking, and I saw these pictures. And they were pictures that they used to take, especially around Civil War time, 1850s, 1860s, 70s, through that time, where if a person in your family died, as soon as they died, they would get them dressed up, and you would do a family portrait with your dead relative there. They did this with children. They did it. I'm trying to think of what this is called. There's some type of photography. But anyway, I mean, it's, and you're looking at these pictures, and yeah, it's creepy. I mean, you just, there's no getting around. It's not like you're thinking this is another person sitting there. It's a body. And they do it with children and infants. And it's just, so I got away from that. And I looked off into the corner, and there was a mannequin there, and there was a black dress on it. It looked Civil War era. And it was the blackest black I have ever seen in my life, almost to the point where I sort of did a double take and thought, how can that be more black than what black already is? But there was just a darkness about it. And I'm walking through, and I'm looking around, and I look around this curtain, and they had some piping and drapes set up like that, and I looked around, and there was a table set there with some chairs and a couple of cameras. Come to find out that the people that owned this place would have medium come in, and they would do spiritual seance type things, trying to draw the dead in. Yeah, and this guy is believing that they're angels that are coming to see them. He said he has pictures of them, and he showed us these pictures of when he was out on the battlegrounds, and he said, look, doesn't this look like an angel? Well, it's one of those things where if you say something long enough, yeah, it looks. I mean, if you got a little outline drawn on what you think, it looked like mist and fog to me. But he said, no, it's okay. He said, you know what? We've got a portal down there. Katarina and I said, yeah, you do. You got a portal. It's not a good portal. It's a very evil portal. You could feel the presence of the darkness there. Now, every one of those people were convinced that there wasn't a thing wrong that they were doing, that it was all exciting. The Bible says that when you open doors like that for the enemy, he will pour every type of evil that he possibly can into your life. Do you wonder sometimes why you cannot get over something that has just been, you've just been fighting it? Examine a place where you may have let that enemy come in. There is not one item in your life, not one circumstance, not one event that you've dealt with that the enemy has brought that you didn't give him a way to do it. You gave him an access point. You say, come on, Pastor Dave, what? You're trying to make me feel bad? No, I want you to know and understand so that you can find those things and close those doors and shut off the access of the enemy into your life. Supernatural. But let me give you some good news as I wrap this up. Here's the good news. You never need to be afraid of the supernatural, ever. I'll tell you why. If you are seeking God, you never need to have fear. Never. When angels appeared to people in the scripture, when Jesus was walking across the water, you remember that? And the guys were in the boat and they were going, ah, it's a ghost. What did Jesus say? What do the angels always say? First thing, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Fear is from the enemy. The spirit of fear is from the enemy. Now, I know we've talked about this. We've talked about the spirit of fear. We've talked about natural fear, those things that protect and guard us. I'm afraid of walking out on Route 15 in front of a truck. Why? Because I'll be killed. That's a natural fear. That's not the same thing as the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear is that thing that comes in and it changes who we are. It hurts our hearts. It takes us away from the things that God wants to do. You never have to be afraid when you're seeking God. Second thing, if you desire the supernatural things to His glory, you never have to be afraid. Now, let me do a little confession for you as a pastor. For my fellow pastors and my fellow ministers, there have been an awful lot of guys and women down through the years that have taken something that God has given them and they've abused it because they've made it to make money for themselves, or they've done it so that they could become noticed and have notoriety. Anytime you take the glory away from God, He'll take the gift from you. At some point, He'll take the gift. It's a gift that He wants to give His kids, but we need to be at a place where we can handle what it is He wants to give us. And all that simply means is humility. That's all. You don't have to be super Christian. You don't have to be an ordained person. You don't have to be someone that I have all this experience. No, the first time that God wants to speak through one of us in a supernatural way, it's all you need. It's just to be humble and to be ready to receive what he wants to do in and through you. Two more. If your heart is closed to the things of Satan, he can't have access. Closed. Through the power of God, you can close your heart to the things of the enemy. You say, well, you got to be careful then. You got to be careful of the things you watch. You got to be careful of the things you listen to. You got to be careful of the places that you go. You say, Pastor Dave, you have to do that? Yes, you do. You have to be on guard. Why? Because we're in a battle. This is a war, folks. We're in a battle right now. The enemy wants nothing more than to steal the things that God wants to do in us. And every single one of you here this morning are equipped by the power of God to be active, to be victorious, to be overcomers. That's what God wants for us. And as we begin to look at these gifts, the different things that God has enabled us, his children, to do, I don't want there to be any fear. No fear. Pastor friend of mine, pastor of a large church, and they embrace all of the gifts in active ways, often, sometimes almost too much, because you can get out of control. I can promise you as your pastor, that'll never happen here. We'll never get out of control. We won't have people slamming themselves into walls. There'll be no mosh pits up in the front, all right? We're not going to be. But he told me, he said, Dave, listen. He said, it's always going to be a little bit sloppy. There's always the chance it's going to be a little bit, just a little left of center. Why? Because we're not perfect. And I'm going to encourage you from time to time to attempt some things if you feel like God's leading you. You may be right on the button. You may have gotten it wrong. It's okay. We've got grace for that. It's okay. You say, Pastor Dave, I think I have a word of knowledge. That's one of the gifts. A word of knowledge is knowing something that you absolutely cannot know except God gave you the information. That's a word of knowledge. I think I have a word of knowledge. Okay, share it with us. Okay. Wow, that wasn't even close. It's okay. It's all right. And then there's other times that God's going to give us words and we're going to know right away that it's exactly the thing that needed to be said. All of those things are a part of what a church needs to be a part of as we grow together. Can I tell you you're in a safe place this morning? Can I tell you you'll never be judged? You'll never be judged. God just wants people that are willing. That's all he wants. But the other thing I also never want you to be is to be afraid. Never be afraid. Satan has no access to this place. We pray over this room before we come in. Every single week, we pray over this room. We pray over each and every one of you before you even get here. You say, Pastor Dave, you didn't know I was coming. I didn't need to. God knew you were coming. We pray over what God wants to do in this place. This is his church. It belongs to him. But I want us to be as powerful as God wants us to be. I want us to be able to do things that are going to, and here's the last thing I'll say, and then I'll end with this. Jesus' miracles, those 36 miracles, if you read through them and look at each and every one of them, there are only four or five that had anything to do with people that had relationship with him. Virtually every miracle Jesus performed were for people that did not know who he was. That's why God wants to use miracles in churches today. It's not to impress us. It's not so we can have a party and go, hey, nice job, high five, good. Hey, did that healing? Nice, good. No, it's not about that. It's so that people that don't know him will go, wow, God is real. There's power in God's name. Things change. Things are different. When great revivals started all throughout history, they almost always began with a supernatural work of God. And most often it had to do with healing. Can you imagine? This room will not be big enough if suddenly word gets out, you know what? Somebody went to that church and they got healed of cancer. And then somebody else came and they were healed of something else. People will come because people are hungry, but we've got to give them a reason to want to be here. We already have the reason. That's the power of our God. And that's what I'm praying for each and every one of us, that we're going to walk in those things full of confidence in who he's created us to be. Father, I thank you that you are powerful, that you are all-knowing. God, you are supernatural. That shouldn't be a scary word for us. All it just means is that it's above what we can understand in our physical minds and our senses. God, that's who you are. But Lord, we also acknowledge the fact that you desire for us to walk in those things as well. And so this morning, God, I'm asking that you begin to reveal to our hearts how you want that to happen at Remnant Life Church, that you begin to reveal to us, Father, how it is that you want to move in and amongst us. We invite you here, Father. We welcome you here, Father, in whatever way that you desire to be seen and known, because we're not afraid. There's no fear in the presence of our Lord. There's only peace, there's comfort, and there's love. And God, in the times when it may challenge our thinking, we just give our minds over to you and say, Father, what do you want me to know? What do you want us to see in this time? Father, we also confess that we're not going to create and manufacture these things either. They have to be from you. And so, God, if it takes a long time for that to happen, that's okay. We're not going anywhere. We're going to continue to worship you and love you and learn. But God, as we begin to walk through these things together, I pray that you would seed in each and every one of our minds and our hearts as we ask the question, God, what's my gift? What have you gifted me to be able to do? Because God, I'm pronouncing that over each and every person here this morning. You have gifted each and every one of these people to your glory, and we're excited to see what that's going to be. Father, watch us as we go, I pray. Protect us, guard our families as we drive, as we're out. Bless Ed as he drives today, God. Guard that truck, I pray, and protect him. And we look forward to coming back again to worship and to love you. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray all these things. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap.